Thank you, Father. Thank you that you deserve all glory. To you are all things, and from you are all things. Ach, Lord, and we are so small. We are so itty-bitty tiny, and you love us, and you made us. And it amazes us, and it is so awesome that we may bring incense to you, Lord, that we may praise you, that we may pray to you. May it be a beautiful fragrance to you, Lord. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Normally I see people on the moment. Anyone here? Oh, you're also welcome. It's so good to be together and to praise and worship. And in my heart, I just felt we must buy a drum set for Martin so that we can enjoy. Any one of you have a word or a testimony or something that you would love to share? Not everyone together.
It was this week, Tuesday morning. I woke up around 5:45, 5:50. And then I normally, I should say, take my quiet time. So I made myself a cup of tea. And then I had my phone with me as well. And normally I don't look up on my phone because I prefer to do quiet time. Then there's nothing in my head, not from the business in South Africa, not from anything, from emails or whatever, that I can focus. And the light was flickering over there. So I knew there's a message. And I thought, okay, must I have a look? Shouldn't I have a look? But then I felt really that morning, I must have a look. And I thought, okay, I'm going to have a look. So I opened it up. And then I saw that there were messages on it, on the app over there, that it started communicating that our daughter-in-law, the evening before, went into hospital, and if it was going to be needed, then she was going to go into the operation room for a Caesar at 7 o'clock in South Africa, which is 6 o'clock in the Netherlands. So I sort of said, okay, that's why I had to look at my phone, and then I could start praying. Then I could start interceding, praying for the doctors, praying for the hospital, and all those type of things. And then afterwards, it was anything around 22:08 or so, I felt, okay, I'm finished with praying. I feel it's confident now. And it was actually for me so awesome that that the Lord stirred me, that the Holy Spirit stirred me that morning, that I had to look on my phone. Normally I'd leave the phone and I'll first have quiet time, and then I will have a look and see what is necessary. But that morning I had a look, and all the praise to God. And we've got a beautiful granddaughter, the fourth one, and there's something like a 10-10. I'm not quite sure about it, what it means.
The Apgar. I don't know if anyone knows about that, but if it's 10 and 10, they take it immediately after birth and then a little later to see, is the baby blue, does it breathe well, da 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 da, out of 10, and she got 10 out of 10, so it's a good start. Anyone else who want to have a testimony? Not have, has a testimony. Carlin. Not. No one? How could the week go without one?
As some of you know, I've actually been praying for a specific colleague of mine to get saved. And last year I had quite a few opportunities to share with him, but only when we're alone in the office, which doesn't happen often. And this week I had another opportunity to speak to him. And it was Wednesday, we were alone the whole day, and there just wasn't an opportunity to actually share the gospel. So I was like, okay, I'm a bit disappointed, but God, you're in control. And we did connect, so I just felt God say, that's fine. And then for some random reason, on Thursday, we had a whole hour that we were alone again, which was weird. People had to go out of the office, and then I just like shared the gospel. And yeah, I really... I'm trusting God for his salvation. And he's quite skeptical still, but God's doing something. So yeah, all praise to God for his salvation. I'm claiming it.
Let's pray for him now. Let's pray for him now. Father God, you know this guy, Father, and you know how long you've stood your niece to have this conversation. Thank you that you made a way, Lord, and thank you that no seed will fall on hard ground or will be picked away by birds or the enemy. Thank you, Lord, that it will grow and that his heart will soften towards you. Although he's skeptic, we bind that in the name of Jesus Christ, and we speak your love and your gospel into him, Father, and that he will celebrate and be saved, he and his whole family, in the name of Jesus Christ. Anyone else? A picture or a...
Yes, during worship, I saw a picture of this very, very large castle, and not like a ruin, but like the fairy tales castles look like. And I really felt that God was saying, you know, you are my part of my kingdom, and you are an amazing castle in my kingdom. And like, there were so many towers, and they were just made so, like, with the most delicate detail, and they were just perfect. They were just stunning. So yeah, I really felt that God was saying that to us as a church.
Would you love to pray about it and just say thank you?
Yeah. Lord, I thank you for that you showed us that we are a castle in your kingdom, Lord, and that you made this castle just perfect and amazing and strong and with detail, and that you cared for us within the most precise detail, and that you made us delicate. And yeah, I'm just so grateful for that, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Awesome. Any, I won't say awesome. Wonderful.
Okay, my name is Kaira. So I have an awesome miracle to share with you guys. I woke up, actually it was not in this week, it was a week before, but I woke up with an immense pain in my, I don't know what it is in English, but anyway, just around here, yeah. And I woke up and I, ovaries, yeah. So I woke up and I thought, okay, let me just get ready for work, and I'm just, you know, trying to get ready, and the more I keep going, the more it's starting to hurt, and I'm at a point where I just feel I cannot even stand up straight. And I just climb back into bed, and I call my mom, and I'm like, Mom, do you know what this is? You know, have you ever experienced this before? And my dad is actually on the other end. He's hearing what we're speaking about, and he says, no, just put your hand on there and we'll pray for you. And as he prayed for me, from there, he commanded this thing to bow his knee before God, because every knee shall bow. And as he was praying that, the pain literally just went away. And I thought, okay, I don't know, I'm going to test it now when I get out of bed. So I just say, okay, bye, you know. And I get out of bed and I feel, and I'm like, wow, it's really, you know. And I get ready for work, and I go, and I actually, on the way to work, I call my dad, just to tell him, you know, I'm really, like, it's really gone. And he said, just as the phone rang, well, when I picked up, he says, yeah, I was expecting your call. The Holy Spirit just told me that you were going to call and just, you know, tell me that you're healed. So thanks, you know, just for being obedient. So it was really such an awesome thing. Yeah, and I just wanted to encourage you. Yeah. Father, we just honor you for that, Lord. And thank you for also giving us this opportunity to encourage other people in their faith with how you touch our lives, Father. And I pray that we will never be ashamed of that, that we will always just, yeah, tell of how good you are to us. And we praise you and we honor you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God is good. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, today we speak on revival. I think most of you know what is revival. But what goes through your mind when you hear this word, revival? Is it, you're not supposed to answer now. when you hear this, have you heard it before? Have you been part of a revival? And perhaps not a Christian revival, perhaps something else. So yes, I went and looked for some synonyms. And the synonyms that are only a few, there were many, which I picked was to come back, to be re-established, for re-establishment, reintroduction, restoration, reappearance, awakening, rebirth. That's actually the meaning of my name. And renaissance. It's something that has been. The re is again, coming back. It's something that was, that is reintroduced, that comes back. Something that was before and grew dim or old. A revival of, instance, folk songs, or there was a phase that they had these little Volkswagen, those round ones, then they wanted to bring them back, so they tried to revive them. I think it was a little revival. And now we can buy the old Nokia 3310, only those over 50 will know about that. I don't know if it will work. but so it's to bring to life again, or bring to remembrance again, is revival. And then I got this word, revivalism is an increased spiritual interest or renewal in the life of a church, a congregation, a society. I want to put there also in a person, with a local, national, or global effect. So it's an increased spiritual interest or a spiritual renewal in yourself and then people around you and in the church or in a... with a global effect it can also have. So yeah, we see that it is spiritual. Revival can be spiritual. When we speak in church, I think mostly, of a Christian revival, it is a spiritual thing that happens to us and it has an outward effect. When I ask God, what do you want me to say? What is revival? Or how can I grasp this? And then he says, revival is a spiritual revelations that overflow or found a place in our soul. So here we find, again, that old thing of soul, our body, soul, and spirit. It's spiritual revelations. So I just want to discern here that we can have spiritual revelations that's not from God. So there's always good and evil, and we must discern. And how do we discern? We check it with the word, with the truth. The truth is this Bible, not this one only, all the Bibles, all the godly Bibles is the truth. And that, so we check it out. Is this God's character? Is this who we learned who God is? Is this what he said in his word? You can call it his Facebook or his photo album, or without photos, but there's many, many pictures that they do write off. But so it is a spiritual thing. It's a revelation that comes from the Spirit. And the Spirit, our spirit, we are imparted with the Holy Spirit. Melissa got the Holy Spirit at Encounter 2, which was super cool, and she could speak in tongues afterwards. So that's often a sign that you have a spirit, that you have the Holy Spirit. It's not necessarily that you have to speak in tongues, but it often goes along with that. But it's the Holy Spirit from God bringing to our mind, that's our soul part, our thinking, our understanding, our emotions even, how we feel about things. So sometimes we will come in a place and we feel, something is not nice here. I don't know what, but something is not cool. It can be that God wants to tell you, be aware. Or it can just be yourself being scared. So we must always test it. Yeah, our souls can be very dodgy. So our thinking and our will and our emotions can, we must test it to the word. Is this, if God says, do not have fear, and you have fear, someone else is working here. It's not God. It is definitely either myself or the enemy. Now, or God will give you a fear if you work in a, if you are in a dangerous place and you need to cross the road now with your bicycle and you're not used to cycling so quickly or whatever, and you need to move now. Now then you get a little fear because it needs to move you on. It's not ungodly, that fear. Okay. And also if you, and I know in the Netherlands it's difficult to understand, but if you're in the dorm touring, for instance, it's very high. You're not supposed to feel so comfortable if there's nothing that keeps you from falling. That's a fear that God has given us, no, so that we can protect ourselves. Okay. That is the spirit. James 4 verse 5. Sorry. James 4 verse 5 says, now James, I quickly want to share with who is James. James is the brother of Jesus. And the brother of Jesus. He manned up for the church in Jerusalem. That Jerusalem, I think the old guys were there. Not really, but so he also wrote this book. And so he knew Jesus very well, I think. And it's so amazing to me that his brother acknowledged him. How many times will we think, oh, what is this brother of us? He thinks he's the king, whatever. So there must have been something super special that James realized, this is not a normal man. This is not a normal brother. So he definitely believed in Jesus. And then he wrote here, or do you suppose that scripture is speaking to no purpose that says, the spirit whom he, God, has caused to dwell in us, yearns over us, and God yearns for the spirit to be welcome with a jealous love. So what James says here is, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit came. And he said, God sent this Holy Spirit and he dwells in us. What a privilege. What a privilege, no, that this Holy Spirit can dwell in us. And God caused to dwell in us and he yearns over us. He yearns that Spirit will be welcomed by us. And I want you to think, is the Spirit welcome in you? Do you understand that there's a yearning for the Spirit to grow? And when we speak in tongues in our own room where no one can hear us, it is exercising that muscles. It's exercising for the Spirit to grow in us so that we can also be bold as the disciples. Later I'm going to share with you about it just now. But it's amazing what the Holy Spirit in you can do. Now, if you let him go his way. And so then we have the Spirit. It's the Spirit that comes in us and it stays in our body, but it's the soul that your soul must discern and he must choose. And then sometimes we have manifestations of the Spirit. And sometimes it's quite scary or weary or whatever. We're not so used to it. But we also get the gifts. That is not so scary, but which is awesome. And in Encounter 1, we learn a little about it. And in Bible school, we learn a little more. And at SOS, we learn even a little more of how does the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate? What does it mean to get a word of knowledge? How, like Darken was stirred by the Holy Spirit to pray. How does that work and how can it work more in us? So it's super cool. And then also the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We don't know always how to pray. And it is so awesome that, you know, even God thought of that and he thought, okay, I'll put the Holy Spirit in between so that my Father gets the right messages from us. So there's this little joke of this small girl who said, she's going to pray now, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And she went on and the mom said, but why do you pray then? Oh, the Holy Spirit will do the rest. He will make the words. So we can trust the Holy Spirit to intercede on behalf of us. But he guides us. As we sung, these songs were awesome. As the Holy Spirit, often I sit in the mornings. I have the privilege that I do not work. I work from home in my bed. And I sit in my bed and I pray, and then the Holy Spirit guides me step by step. Now, the Father, He shares with me what the Father shares with Him, and then I get the message. And I often pray and bind all the other spirits that wants to talk to you, because then it can go quite crazy in your head and you don't know who is talking to you. So I bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear from anyone, just from God, from the Holy Spirit. And then He guides you, and step by step, and the song was step by step, and I could so identify with it. And it is so precious to me to be led by God. Who is more clever? Who has more wisdom? Who loves you more? No one. No one. I know Darkan loves me, and I love him also, but God loves me more. And God, Darkan's very clever, but you know God is even better. So it is just amazing. It's such an awesome journey if you start experiencing that. And I hope that all of us will have that growing, and if you don't have it, start it from today on. It is just super. Then we also learned that we received the Holy Spirit by grace. It's just because God is so kind. It's just that He loves us so much, and the songs was about it, the mercy and the grace. Man, He loves us so much, and I think we cannot grasp it. Well, I struggle sometimes. And then He sends this awesome Spirit, and it's just by grace. It's not because I'm worth of it. It's not that I got 10 out of 10 in my APGAR. It is not that I passed grade 1 or whatever. Nothing. It's just because He loves you. He loves you. Oh, that's so awesome. I want to ask you, but can you miss a revival? This working of the Holy Spirit, bringing your revelations, bringing a crowd, bringing a nation revelations. And yes, I missed one, and I didn't understand. And I think my parents also didn't understand. But it was in the 1975-77, the Baptist Church got a revival in South Africa. And it was really, I feel, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And lots of people went there. And there was really lots of testimonies of healings. And was also in the newspapers. But did you see a doctor before? And are you tested afterwards? And da-da-da, all that. And yes, people got healed. And they could stand out of wheelchairs. And they could throw their crutches away. And I just thought, man, I don't know. And my parents was also not into it, so I missed it. So you have a choice. Are you going to join when it comes? Can you? You can, with your own doubt, block it. Once I did a course when I was 42 about the spiritual roots of diseases, and was an American guy, and he was very clever, but I thought, American. They always think they are super cool. And that's my perception, and I may be totally wrong. And who is this guy? What does he think of himself? And it's my arrogance. It's my pride that didn't want to receive. And it was a three-day course from 99. And during the first few hours, I realized what I was doing. I was blocking him. So I was also blocking the gift that he could bring with. And it says, if you receive a prophet according to, as a prophet, you will receive the prophet gift. So if you cannot receive what God has done through someone else, you will not get it. So luckily I was a little more, I think it was God. I just said, okay, chuck all my doubt away, take it as the truth and go and test it. Go and test it, read the Bible, take everything he said, check it on scripture. And yeah, as I realized, this is the truth. I was healed of gluten allergy as a bonus. It was just a bonus. It was super cool. So yeah, you can miss a revival. And we pray a lot for revival. I'll come to that a little later. Let's look in Acts 2. where the Holy Spirit came upon the people who waited, the disciples and others who waited in the upper room. They waited for 10 days. Are you prepared to wait for 10 days? Prayerfully, waiting, 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 praying, praying, praying for the Holy Spirit to come. And then suddenly it came and it was like, okay, let's read there. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues. I didn't understand divided tongues, but now I do. It's not like a candle flame. It has more than one point. No, it's like a fire flame. Divided tongues as of fire appeared on to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was awesome. It was confusing, I think. I think many people didn't understand what's happening, and that also happened. All the Jews were together there from all over the world for a feast. I'm not sure the feast, but they were together there. And that's why it was really a divine appointment, because many of other languages would have joined. So those who stayed in Greek or in Italy or in Germany or whatever, they were all there. And they could hear those people speaking in their own language. And then people said, yeah, but they are drunk and this is that. So quickly the enemy comes, and I know of my own heart, I also think, what is this now? You know, I'm not used to this, and this must be wrong. But then Peter stood up. And not long ago, he denied Jesus, that he even knew Jesus. But now he realized he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he realized this is the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to come. So he had a whole speech worked out for them. I don't know if it was just the Holy Spirit speaking through him. And that he convinced the people, and he said to them, you know, it's you all, yeah, sitting. And you didn't want to believe in Jesus, no? You didn't want to think that he was the Messiah. And now he did bring his promise. It is the Holy Spirit. And we are not drunk of wine. We are drunk of the Spirit. And this is what happened. And suddenly the people were shocked, and they got remorse, and they thought, oh, what now? And then they asked Peter, what shall we do now? What shall we do? And then he says, it's so awesome. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is so super cool. In the name of the person that you didn't want to acknowledge. So we just get that out of you now, that you are baptized now in that name that you crucified and that you didn't want to believe. So this is what you must do. So I think it was a challenge for those people. So repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 of them. Then I think, Lord, if we preach on a Sunday, I would love 3,000 people to come to you. And just, oh, it would have been so, so cool. But 3,000 is not little. Okay, it was a huge gathering. So there were many people, but it was still in your soul a choice. Are you going to go for it? Are you going to trust it? Faith is not something you know for sure. That is easy. If you get your check at the end of month, all these au pairs who get a little payment, you don't have to have faith for your money. You will receive it. You will get it. No? If you have more expenses than what your money is, yeah, then you must have a little faith that it will stretch so far. No? So for us, it is very difficult to put our trust or our faith for stuff that we cannot control. And this is revival. You cannot control it. Revival is in your spirit. It is something that you must just trust God for. Because you cannot control it. Yes, you can resist it. You can say, no, I want to pause this. I don't want. But I don't want to pause any of revivals anymore if there is. Okay. What is commonly known as the conditions for revival? Often we see that people will say 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. It's lots of promises that comes with that. But humble. I went with people to the Tweede Kamer, where the government rules, and at one stage we as a country had to repent of stuff, of choices that we as Dutch people made that was wrong. And I could see that there's people that do not know how to repent, how to humble. They cannot go on their knees. They stand like this, straight up and with their heads up and say, Lord, we don't have a feet to stand on, but we ask you to forgive us. Then it doesn't look to me very humble. It doesn't look to me that it's really from their hearts. Perhaps it is. Perhaps it's just a culture that I'm still getting used to. I don't know. But then there were people that will go on their knees and cry of the wrong that was done, that really repented, that really had a heart and said, Lord, no. As those people where Peter spoke, what must we do? What can we do now? And they did. They did went to be baptized and repented. So we must pray that we will be humble, that we will have the ability to search ourselves, to see where I did go wrong, because that thing stands between you and your revival. It stands between you and your growth. Often it keeps you away from that. And we've spoken to someone and he said, yes, sometimes he experienced that some people just doesn't have the ability to search themselves and to see what they have done wrong. They cannot. And then I thought, it is so, so horrible if you cannot do that, because how can you grow? How can you get rid of that? Some of the songs that we sang was also, Jesus broke the chains. Yes, he did, but then you must repent. No, you must humble yourself. You must say, yes, Lord, I missed it, as those people who wanted to get baptized. Otherwise, it will not do anything for you. You will stay in chains. You will stay stuck. It's not to say you will miss heaven, but it's just that if you cannot repent of your sins here, it will... Yes, you must repent, sorry. You just have to repent. You must just ask God to bring you that heart of repentance. In the literature, people say revival begins with unsaved people who repent, and godly people who spend extended times in prayer, searching for God's power. Revival can be released when one person encounters God in a deep experience, or when many people constantly live for God and seek His face. And I can say that I've went to the parliament a few times now, yeah, in the Netherlands. It was awesome. It was wonderful to see how many Dutch people we are here in the Netherlands that really have a heart for God, that really wants to see this country turned, that really wants to see a revival. And they have it in their hearts, and we have it in our hearts, and we spoke it, and we repented, and yeah, I have so much hope. I have so much hope of what is going to happen and how this country is going to turn and be an example, not of liberal people, but of godly people. When one person experienced God, it's like a Billy Graham. He has such an impact. He's an evangelist, and he has such an impact on the world that, wow. So say, instance, one of you is like a Billy Graham. Man, you will turn not only the Netherlands upside down through your gift, but the whole Europe. So a revival can come through a Billy Graham. It can also come through a Martin Luther. He returned to biblical doctrine. It was not necessarily the spirit thing that we know of, now of speaking in tongues or something, but God revealed to him that some doctrine in the Catholic Church is not okay. And he was actually very liberal to go against that, and it brought him lots of trouble, but it made the start of the Protestant Church. So it was good. And then there was a Canadian prayer revival that brought a great confession of sin. People, it was just like a spread of a flame. One person came to preach there. He was invited in a church. He wasn't even part of the church, and people just got saved. And he preached for 7.5 weeks every evening, and it just grew bigger and bigger and bigger. And this the whole that whole area was revived in a revival by God. It was awesome. Then we have the Welsh revival, where it leads a society to clean itself through repentance. That's also super cool. And then you also get revivals where people speak in tongues and at the jerks or were slain in the spirit. I don't know if any one of you have ever heard about the Toronto blessing at some stage. People were laughing. I think in the beginning it was truly of God. I don't know till the end. But yes, then there were some strange things that happened then. When you experience that, how will you know if it's from God or not? It is tricky. When we did Bible school, the pastor who did this part, he would play us some little small pieces of places where there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit or a spirit, and then he will ask us to discern. It's not so easy. So we really need God to tell us, is this craziness from you, Lord, or not? If you think in the history, it was blocked sometimes because of people that said, no, God is a God of order, and this is out of order. So we don't want to block it. Okay, let's hear. What does God want to say to us today in terms of revival? And it was... I struggled with this because I said, Lord, why do you give me 2 Timothy 1 to read? And then I realized later, it says, verse 9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our own works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. This revival, often I think we pray for revival because we just want the hype of it and the supernatural of it. But if you pray it for that reason, please stop. It's not that. It is for God's purpose. It is so that God's kingdom can be established. Yes, and it is super cool to be part of it. But that's not the reason we do it. It's because of his purpose. And then 2 Timothy 1 verse 14, I just want to read there. Guard and keep with the greatest care the precious and excellently adapted truth which has been entrusted to you by the help of the Holy Spirit who makes his home in us. The Holy Spirit makes his home in us. I don't know how tidy is our homes, but guard it, keep it. It is special. It is not something to just throw around. It is really awesome. And I want to show you a clip of Reinhard Bonnke. He's a German evangelist, and the Holy Spirit truly works in him, and he's a revival on his own. He has done so many campaigns in Africa, huge, humongous ones. I think he's still going to go to do one. But this is a small part what he said in Hillsong in Sydney. Let's listen.
I've told this to on other occasions. I will never forget it for as long as I live. I was invited for a television interview, national television, discussing experts, discussing religious questions. Well, I was very fortunate to be invited. And when I arrived there, I found that they only had invited another expert, and he was an atheist. So I thought by myself, how come they invite for this discussion an atheist and me, a hot evangelist? And then I thought, wow, I think they have done this because they won a good fight. And I must confess, my German nature sometimes is still quite awake. I like a good fight myself, especially when it comes to Jesus. I spoke of a good fight. Now, here the moderator starts the talk. We are live on television, nationwide. And here the atheist takes off. And he says, Bonky, you preach that there's power in the blood of Jesus. I said, yes, I do. He said, I believe there is no power in the blood of Jesus whatsoever. I said, why do you say that? He said, because the blood of Jesus is already 2,000 years in this world. And the world today is worse than it was 2,000 years ago. And because the presence of the blood of Jesus in this world has not made this world better, but it has become worse, that's why I say there is no power in the blood of Jesus. I said, Mister, wait, I want to reply. I said, Mister, there is also soap in this world, yet many people are still dirty. I said, Mister, let me explain to you how soap works, in case you don't know. I said, if I am dirty and I stand next to a piece of soap, I will not be automatically clean. Soap doesn't work automatically, no matter how close you get to it. I said, Mister, you won't even be clean, even if you should work in a soap factory. I said, now, Mister, this is what's going to happen. If you want to know what soap can do, you've got to reach out with your hand. Get that piece of soap and start to apply it. I said, if you do, you will know that there's power in the soap. I said, and so it is with the blood of Jesus. It's not enough to know it. It's not enough to sing about it. It's not enough to preach about it. I said, Mister, now I dare you. Reach out for the blood of Jesus. Apply it to your sinful life. And if you do, something will happen to you. What has already happened to hundreds of millions of people all over the world. You will jump up. You will throw up your arms. You will shout. You will sing. You will say, there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. This man looked at me, he said, oh, Bonky, you're different. I said, what do you mean? Well, he said, I met some evangelists before, but you are different. something is emanating from you. He said, I already tried to analyze what the difference may be between the other evangelists I met and you. I think, he said, the others are amateurs and you are a professional. I said, Mister, I'm sorry to say, but you are wrong again. I said, I'm not a professional evangelist. I tell you what I am and who I am. I said to him, I am a living piece of evidence that there is power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Blessed be the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Now, I still must tell you this. When I left Television House, walking to my car, suddenly somebody tapped me on my shoulder. I look around, my atheist. He said to me, Bonke, would you please pray for me?
Amen, amen. I can just say amen. And it is that blood, the power of the blood, it's the Holy Spirit through us. It's working through him. The atheist could sense it. And I don't know if I would have been so. I don't think so. So awesome in answering. But Reinhard Bonke is just full of God. He is such a huge vessel for the Holy Spirit to operate through. That his whole thinking, his whole mind is that, the way he lives. And yeah, so I was wondering, would any one of us want to have the soap applied? And it's not just looking at the soap, but it's really reaching out to God and say, yes, Lord. I want this. I want your Holy Spirit to work through me. I want it. I want a living relationship with God. A restored relationship. Revived. Awaken. With light. With power. With everything that comes with it. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to be fearful. I just want to be bold and go. Go for you, Lord. So, yeah, the last few. Oh, you already put it there. How do we do it? I think we need to be prepared. The Holy Spirit is in us. He wants to operate through us. So be prepared to let him operate through you. Come in right standing. If you need to search yourself, your own heart, come and repent. Come humble yourself. Say, sorry, where I missed it, Lord, help me. Help me to be more full of you so that my thinking will be renewed and I will just have one way of thinking. Because in the world we often struggle, and I see it in the Netherlands here with us, that it's, I don't know if you know that story of the frog who is in a pond, and the pond is slowly but surely getting hotter and hotter. But because he's not going out the pond and back, he doesn't realize the pond is hotter or warmer. And then later on he dies because the pond is too warm. The water is too warm for him. And I think often in an area where we live, we do not really always see what is really happening. And in the Netherlands, we can sometimes still see that there's a very humanistic way of thinking. Not so much godly, but to be good, but not necessarily according to God's will. So we must ask God. We don't want to be in a pond heating up and missing it. Take us out. We want to see it. We want to see it so that we can pray into it, so that we can be in this revival, help this country, help ourselves and this country, and pray diligently. And I also want to say that we will pray for ourselves and for people around us to search their own hearts, to see where they miss it, and really have remorse. And I don't know if you can I want to pray now, and if you can, those who can, just go on your knees as a symbol of humbleness, as a symbol of honoring God and wanting Him to show you where we miss the mark and what we can do. And then I'll pray, and as you feel, you can come to the front thereafter, so that we can pray with you. Yes. Is it possible for you to go on your knees? Those who can, those who cannot, it's fine. You can also stand. Close your eyes. Father God, we come before you, Lord, and as a symbol of humbleness, Lord, we kneel. We kneel before you and come and search our hearts, Lord. As you've spoken through Reinhard Bonnke, and we want to apply this soap, Lord. We want to have this Holy Spirit working powerfully in us, not even wondering what we will say to an atheist or anyone else who struggles to find you, Lord. We want to have a heart for all people. You have a heart for all people. You made all people, Father. So we come humbly before you today, Lord. And we ask revival in our own heart. Come and show us individually where we still have a block, Lord. Come and search our hearts. Come and seek. Come and show us, Lord, where we still struggle, where there's still some thinking or feelings that's not in line with you, Lord. Come in our hearts. Come in my heart, Lord. Come in my heart and search my heart. And come in our hearts, Lord. And I pray for revival in our city, that everyone in this city will experience you and understand you, and that there will be a revival in everyone's heart here in the city, Father. And I pray for revival in our country, this awesome country of the Netherlands, Lord. We pray for revival. We pray for a coming back, a reawakening to you, Lord. And we pray for Europe. Father, Europe, we call for Europe to turn their hearts to you. There are many people who look for you. There are many people who have, there's still a remnant, Lord. There's many people that pray diligently. Lord, come to Europe. Come and overflow with your Spirit. We open our hearts for this, Father, and for the world. That first picture was all the world, the whole world, Lord. We pray for you to come for the whole world. Open up your eyes, your hearts, your understanding, your soul, your spirit. Open up in the name of Jesus Christ so that God's revival can continue and grow all over the world. Lord, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about this congregation. It's not about anyone here. It's about you. It's about you, Lord. We wanna blow a trumpet for you. We wanna honor you. We wanna give all glory to you. Everything starts with you, and everything is of you, Father. Come, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Come in our hearts, Lord. Now I want to ask if there's anyone here this morning or this afternoon that hasn't publicly chosen Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, publicly could declare as those people where Peter spoke to, what must I do? What must I do? And you feel stirred in your heart. You feel your heart is pumping. You feel sweating. Come, give your heart to Jesus. Come, repent of your sins. Come and let go of that where you missed it. I ask you, is there anyone that feels like that? Will you put up your hand while everyone's eyes are closed? Is there anyone who have never publicly declared that he chose for Jesus as his personal Savior? I invite you to put up your hand. Thank you, Lord. Father God, and then I want to pray for each one of you. Yeah, as I've prayed, if you feel you want personal prayer or you want to pray with someone else, come to the front. Let us pray. Yeah, don't sit in your chair. It's also a spiritual thing to move to the front. The anointing is often in the front, and it also takes you out of your own comfort zone. As Peter said to those Jews, they must come and be baptized. It was out of their comfort zone. It was not easy for them. So it's not to make it difficult for you. It is just let God work through you. Reach out for the soap. Come and receive. If you feel or you don't want to come or you've been prayed for, you're welcome to come for coffee and tea after the service. Thank you, Lord. Amen.